Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. Tom, I hope you have some good news for us about this weather starting to cool off next week.
It's supposed to start cooling off by Monday or Tuesday. It'll be still in the upper 80s, which is a little warm.
Which is like 10 degrees above normal, but come on, almost 100
degrees. But better than the mid-90s.
Here. Yeah. Or upper 90s, far too early for that. Anyway, hello, everybody. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on this Friday, April the 2nd, 2021. It is Good Friday. It's Easter weekend. We are on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. The radio station call letters are KVOI. We're in our 11th year on the radio here, and we have our worldwide live listeners and podcasts at buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our media partners, we like to do a big shout out, especially on Friday, TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio publications. That includes Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. With us for our Friday Focus interview, Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry joining me in studio. Mr. Huckleberry, how are you?
Just fine, Bill. Glad to be here.
Thank you very much. With us on our live line, Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, editorial director of the two dozen newspapers owned by the Sierra Vista-based WIC Communications. We had hoped to have Dan in studio, but his workload did not allow that today. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Bill.
Mr. Huckleberry, we have news today that the vaccine will now be opened up to pretty much any adult.
Yes, Bill, starting Monday, we will open the vaccine to anyone of 16 years of age or older. The 16 year to 18 really need to use Pfizer, but the Moderna is available for everyone 18 and above.
Where will that be available, Mr. Huckleberry?
It'll be available at all of the regional vaccination centers the county operates, one at Tucson Medical Center, another at the Tucson Convention Center. And we're now about to open two more vaccination centers, one at the Keno Event Center and one at the El Pueblo Community Center. All of these centers, together with the U of A State Pod, are now vaccinating about 8,000 individuals a day.
The controversial folks that maybe heard something about this controversy about the FEMA had said to Pima County, yes, we have some vaccine. We'd like to make it available to Pima County. But initially, the governor and his health director said, no, we can't afford to give up vaccine. Where is all of that right now?
Well, at this point, I believe the state has given the okay to FEMA to talk to Pima County about opening a federal pod in Pima County. We've targeted three locations for that federal pod and that additional vaccine. One, we're talking cooperatively with the Owatom Nation to open it at Desert Diamond Casino. The other would be continuation at El Pueblo Community Center and the Keno Event Center. All of those locations have been selected by us because they're targeted to census tracts or zip codes that have populations that have a very high Hispanic origin.
I think it's worth pointing out, give us the overview, that Pima County is ahead of the schedule that was initially released in January. We had hoped, I think we're far ahead of that schedule.
Yeah, we are, Bill. We had thought that by the end of this particular month, we would have put in 300,000 vaccines. I think we're now up to about 460. So we're ahead of schedule with regard to vaccination. But our goal is to stay ahead of schedule and try and get as much vaccine in arms as possible before the summer months start. And so we're hopeful that with the federal pod, that we'll have probably, we would hope, about 60%, maybe more, of the population vaccinated by mid-May.
What's the percentage now of our population's about 1 million, and if you take away the younger people who are not eligible yet, that's under 16, where are we in that overall picture?
We're probably in the 30 to 35% range of vaccinated individuals who are eligible.
So almost about one in three.
About one in three, but we need to basically be about 75 to 85% vaccinated to achieve what public health officials term as herd immunity.
All right, let's bring Dan Scheer in on the live line. Go ahead, Dan.
We're opening the vaccine to anybody 16 and older on Monday. Why are we 2 weeks behind the state on making that decision?
We made the decision, and we've made the decision consistently. If you look at all of the decisions we made to open vaccine, is to target the most vulnerable population. And that first occurred when we targeted 75 plus. The state moved it down from that to 65. We didn't follow the state. We then moved it to 70 plus and then 65 plus. In this particular case, we opened it up to 18 and above, or 16 and above, about 2 weeks ago, as you indicated. But it was for those individuals in those age groups that had a chronic medical condition, because they're at higher risk.
Go ahead, Dan, with any follow-up you might have.
Yeah, you're talking about the percentage of people vaccinated. Is there any sense out there of what percentage of people just aren't going to get it? They don't trust it?
We had heard initially about 20%. And anecdotally, we're looking at, again, our own county employee population. About 85% of our law enforcement correction officers have been vaccinated. So that particular percentage is a little higher than we anticipated. Early on, we estimated about 20% of the population would not take the vaccine for one reason or another.
And what's the major reason?
I think the major reason is a lot of people are waiting to see what happens to folks who have taken the vaccine. Do they grow a third arm or a third eye or something of that nature? So I think it's, you know, wait and see.
And has that happened?
Not yet. And, you know, we had sheriff deputies who initially refused to take the vaccine, saw all of their fellow workers getting vaccinated and nothing happening, and then all of a sudden changing their mind. So we think that's probably, hopefully we'll get about 10% of those who don't want the vaccine to change their mind once they see that it has no adverse impacts.
What a difficult year this has been. I was reflecting, you were with us almost to the day back a year ago, and we were talking about, we really didn't know what was ahead. We had a handful of cases in Pima County, and then I looked at these numbers. I didn't check them today, but yesterday we just really had a couple of dozen cases, so the caseload is really declined.
Caseload is way down, and that's good, but it's frankly not down as much as it was for the first 3 months of the pandemic in, say, March, April, and May of 2020. If you add up the total number of cases in those 3 months, it's about 2,500 cases. If you think of just the cases in the month of March, when we've actually seen things improve a lot, we've got over 3,200 cases alone in March. So March of 21, we had the same number of cases in 3 months in the very beginning of the pandemic. So we're not out of the woods yet, and I think that's the important part to understand, is that we need to continue with the mitigation measures we are able to do for probably the next 60 to 90 days.
And the mask requirement still is in effect in Pima County, despite the governor, the governor never really had a mandate for masks in Arizona, but he has now said that restrictions are off.
Yeah, and that's kind of puzzling to us, because initially he said it's up to local jurisdictions to adopt a mask requirement. We did, because it's a proven public health measure that's scientifically proven to be effective in reducing the spread of COVID-19. And by restricting the ability to wear a mask, he creates the illusion that the pandemic's over, and it's not over.
Dan, I know go ahead, yeah. Dan. I know you want to talk a little bit about this mask issue.
Sure. Yeah. Supervisor Steve Christie says that we should let businesses and their customers make decisions on masks. You don't like that idea?
That's not what public health is about. Public health is about protecting the general public in general from infectious diseases, and COVID-19 is an infectious disease, and it's had devastating consequences. So, no, I do not support that.
But there's been a big back and forth between public health and economic health, and at what point does one side give?
Well, I think the point is that the only way you accelerate consumer confidence and return to economic vitality prior to the pandemic is to listen to public health officials and get toward the tail end of the pandemic. When you have achieved that, consumer confidence will return and the economy will again grow.
It does put the owners in a difficult position, the business owners. They're hearing one thing from Phoenix and then they're hearing another from the board and the city.
No question about it, and we know that. And I think one of the statements of the governor was, well, the county doesn't enforce it. Well, the county does. We've investigated over 2,900 complaints. We got three stages, and again, in our mask ordinance, it was first education, and second education, third would be citation. We never got to stage three with anybody. So I think the point is that even if you go out in the public today, you'll see almost uniform compliance with the mask requirements. So I think it's been accepted by the public. The public knows it's an ineffective and inexpensive way to limit the spread of COVID-19.
Dan, go ahead.
Governor Ducey wrote the mayor of Phoenix a nasty letter yesterday after she closed parks over the Easter weekend. He called it an irrational decision and also a violation of his executive order. Now, Pima County could get the next nasty letter if you haven't received one already. Are you expecting something? What's the back and forth of the state right now?
Well, I think the governor called our decision inconsequential, and that's fine. We're happy with him labeling inconsequential. In our view, it's very important. We've opened our parks. We've opened them in a measured amount. And so we're following all of the public health guidelines, the guidelines that comes from the CDC with regard to the opening of public places. They're outdoors. They're safer. We just still need to continue to socially distance 6 feet, wear a mask when we can't, and make sure that if we're sick, we stay home.
Go ahead, Dan.
What was interesting to me about that letter that he wrote to Mayor Gallego was that he demanded that they open up the parks, but he didn't really say that he was going to do anything about it other than blame them for any spike in COVID rates that might come after Easter, because he says that now is going to force people indoors. And so he has an executive order that he says stands and trumps all, yet he's not doing anything about it. Are you a little surprised at that?
Well, maybe he's doing the same thing he's accusing us of not enforcing our mask requirements. So I think the issue is we are going to probably see an uptick. I think it's just going to occur naturally. The issue is how severe will it be? And I think the more people we can get vaccinated quicker, the less that occurs. The more people will continue to take the mitigation measures that are relatively easy, we're going to mitigate that next increase.
The back and forth between Pima County and the governor, how would you characterize that? Would you say, I guess it'd be the understatement to say it's been unhelpful in Pima County's health efforts, but how would you characterize it when you look back over the past 12 years? 12 years. It's felt like 12 years, hasn't it? The past 12 months, about how this back and forth, how do you characterize it?
Oh, it's not been particularly helpful. We wish we would have had more of a two-way dialogue as opposed to just one-way communication. It always helps if you have differences of opinion to at least be able to discuss those and then come to a conclusion. We weren't afforded that opportunity. I don't know if anybody else has been, but it just seems like there's a better way to communicate.
All right, Dan, we're going to take our break right here. And I will say, Dan Scheer, you are missing out today because the Mona's Danish Kringle / coffee cake that I brought in today with some beautiful almond paste, as my friend Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass says, it's a what did you say, Tim? Light and tasty multi-layered pastry. And it was absolutely delicious. Mr. Huckleberry, you had a sample of the Mona's, and how was it?
It was great, and I took Dan Shear's slice.
There you go. Mona's Danish Bakery, open right now for lunch, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. You can order your bakery goods ahead. You can call for your bakery goods, and they'll be ready for you, or you can walk into the bakery. There's some limited dining indoors, but right now everybody wants to be out on the patio. A perfect day to have lunch and a pastry for dessert at Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll be right back on Buckmaster.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Chuck Huckleberry, Pima County Administrator, is with me in studio. Tom Fairbanks, my engineer producer on the other side of the glass. And Dan Shear on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Tom Fairbanks, you had a quick question during the break about masks and distancing.
Well, early on, it was my understanding that if you weren't able to remain 6 feet apart or more, then a mask was necessary. But if you were able to maintain 6 feet or more distance from other people, you didn't have to wear a mask. And in the fog of this pandemic, it's been lost to me, and I'm confused over, did I misunderstand that?
Well, Tom, I don't think you did, but those circumstances are very rare. And, you know, it's like if you go into a business and people are passing you in the aisles, do you, you know, as they pass you, you're not maintaining a 6 foot distance, but as they get further away, they are. And then how about the next one, then the next one? Another example would be a sporting event where you have an outfielder in baseball. Well, they're out there in the field and they're obviously 6 feet apart, so they don't have to wear a mask. But when they come in, as the side changes, and when they get into the dugout, they're all closer than 6 feet, so they should when they're in the dugout. So it depends on the circumstances. The rules simply say 6 feet apart continuously for a period of time, and if you're within, you know, the exposure issue that now is not, used to be 15 minutes continuously, is now 15 minutes during a 24-hour period. So safe bet is to wear a mask.
Let's go back to Dan Scheer on the live line from the Green Valley News. Go ahead.
Contact tracing, how's it going, and what is the metric that we use to determine success? Also, you're looking for more money for this, aren't you?
Yes, we are, because, you know, it's a component of our cost, and the cost is related to COVID testing. But then once we have a positive case, then what we do is the contact tracing and case investigation kicks in to identify the previous close contacts, to, you know, advise them to, you know, isolate and get tested. And if they come, obviously, turn positive, the whole process starts over and over again. So, and typically what we found in contact tracing is that most infections were in places where people were gathering in groups of more than 10. And so that's kind of one of the priorities. Indoors and more than 10 seems to be a problem. We've had a number of infections coming from schools, not as many as expected, but contact tracing is what actually identifies school outbreaks. It identifies outbreaks in particular businesses that we're able then to backtrack and go in and find out what circumstances led to it, and in invest in or make program changes that would reduce that infection possibility.
Is COVID testing still free right now in Pima County? And I just wondered if we've seen a dramatic drop off in the number of people who now are getting, I mean, someone could probably get a test same day or walk in, right?
Yes, there's been a dramatic drop off in testing during the height of the pandemic, which was really about Christmas, December 24th through about the 15th of January. We were doing about 3,000 tests a day, and yes, it was free then, and it's free today. My guess is that number of tests have dropped down into a couple hundred a day, and so it's dramatically dropped as the infections rates have dropped, and it's still free today and still possible to attain one probably same day.
All right, Dan, I cut you off. You had a follow-up. Sorry about that.
That's okay. If your contact tracer is calling, say, 100 people, how many are they actually making a connection with?
But more than we thought. I think it's up to about 60% now. Initially, we couldn't get people to answer the phone. It's probably in the 30% range, but at this point, we're actually having better luck.
Dan, I'm going to change the subject here and talk. This is pretty much your area because you guys broke that story with HUD Bay about HUD Bay now looking to the Santa Rita's west slope for the open pit copper site. Would you like to frame the question, Dan Scheer, since you guys broke the story?
Yeah, it's still pretty early on all of this. HUD Bay has said themselves that they still have a lot to learn about this whole project, but were you surprised by this announcement? We all knew that they had been exploring over there for months, but were you guys surprised by it? And what are your initial thoughts or concerns?
Dan, we're not surprised about it at all. We knew about those deposits and those claims on the other side of the Santa Rita's. In fact, early on in the process, when we talked about HUD Bay and possible Pima County approval, we laid out a series of things that we said was really important, like backfilling the pit, using CAP water rather than groundwater, mitigation based on the conservation plan. And we said, and this is important, we said give up the claims on the other side of the pass into the Santa Ritas. And obviously none of that went anywhere. It was one of our proposed mitigation measures for the Rosemont mine itself, and they never followed up with any of it.
This is a real big guess and maybe an unfair question to you, but I'll ask anyway. It looks like they might be able to do this, if they move forward with it, completely on private land, which makes it very different than the Rosemont project. If that is the case, could we assume then that this would be a much quicker approval process for them?
I would assume it's probably correct. They still have to go through probably a federal environmental impact statement due to simply the mining process itself, but it'll probably be quicker. Obviously would be a mine much, much smaller if it's simply on private land, because there's not that much private land on that side.
But Dan, okay, you pointed out, I believe, that this is something that would be visible to your residents in your service area of Green Valley. Would you elaborate a little bit on that, Dan Scheer?
Well, about 3 weeks ago, I was driving through new parts of Quail Creek, and Quail Creek is kind of our version of Saddlebrook. It's a little more upper crust. It's in the town of Sahuarita, and it would be about 8 miles from this. They will see it from there, and there's a lot of houses going up and a lot of expensive houses going up, but there are also homes within a mile of that mine. So, yes, we are going to be able to see it from Sahuarita and Green Valley. You probably won't be able to hear anything, but you'll be seeing it. I think this is surprising a lot of people, but it is private land and it can be done. I'm not quite sure how it would be stopped.
And I think it certainly be visible for miles. It'll be heard within a few miles, and it'll probably be able to be maybe even you'll sense a smell, might even see it, find it.
Let's talk about Pima County's financial situation. I believe during our last visit with you, we were talking about the cost of all of the COVID, and now we're going to get some reimbursement. Why don't you give us kind of the big picture of where we are here as we get ready to, we're really now closing out the financial picture, the budget for this year. We're going to have a new budget here in July 1st.
Yes, there really are three different allocations of federal funds, all related to coronavirus or the CARES Act relief. The first was a direct appropriation to Pima County for $87.1 million. Most of that money was spent by and through December of this last year, 2020, and about $50 million of it went directly to testing, contact tracing, case investigation, purchase of personal protective equipment, all of the things that a county public health agency is obligated to do. The second series of funds are funds that went from the federal government through the CDC to the state of Arizona. And the two areas that we're interested in are the $416 million that went to the state for testing and $66 million that went to the state for vaccination. The state has allocated to us, at least so far, $13.1 million for testing and $7.1 million for vaccination. We've indicated in our plans our vaccination plan probably costs twice that. And our testing, we've already spent the $13 to $14 million that the state would allocate simply because they chose an artificial date to reimburse forward from January 15th. So that really cuts us out of about $7.5 million of testing costs between December 21st, when the second bill was passed, to January 15th. The third source of revenue is the American Rescue Plan, and that is appropriating $204 million to Pima County in two separate, transfers. The first being $102 million, probably within about the next 90 days. And so there's federal funds that are coming through. Some of them are more difficult to access than others. But at this point, you know, we're offsetting almost all of our costs related to the pandemic. And those that we can't offset, we'll pay for through the general fund, because Pima County has a primary public health responsibility.
Where does that leave us then going into budget year 21-22?
It leaves us kind of in an unknown position, but one that's fairly comfortable in the sense that we do know that these funds have been made available for this purpose, and so it's not as if we're spending this money with no hope of ever getting it back. High probability we will get reimbursed, and therefore the budget holes that we predicted, say, 6 months ago just simply aren't going to be there. So it's a budget year that's probably similar to what it was last year. A little uncertain, but no catastrophe.
Should I be budgeting more money for my property taxes?
I don't think so. At least the budget that I'll recommend to the board will, again, have a decrease in the primary property tax rate.
All right. Dan Scheer, go ahead.
We have a real happy guy down in Green Valley. He's been complaining about his roads for a long time, and they've finally been repaired. He is on a residential street that gets very little traffic other than the 10 homes that are on it. What again, is the priority for getting roads fixed, and has it changed?
Dan, it hasn't really changed. It's been accelerated, and there's an opportunity to accelerate it again on the agenda of the board on April the 6th about advancing another $50 million in road repair. A good portion of that will go to local roads, and a significant portion of it, will probably 40% of it, will go to these collector arterial streets that more traffic uses. We have an obligation to maintain both local roads as well as the others, and typically we had maintained the arterial and collectors in better shape than the local roads, and so what you see us doing now is simply making up for a past lack of funding to actually maintain local roads.
The loop, the bike and walking path, was named the number one, what was it, outdoor
trail recreational system, trail system in the country, yes. Mm-hmm.
And for those that don't know about the loop, what is it?
It's about 135 miles of continuous trails paralleling mostly our major river system, where there is, no car traffic. You don't have to worry about being hit by a car, and you're able to recreate and leisure and walk and jog and ride a bike or ride a horse along the river system where we have river parks. And so it's a fairly large regional recreational amenity that integrates all of the communities in Pima County.
Dan, do you have anything more before we wrap it up?
Quick question. Allie Miller is no longer on the Board of Supervisors. Does that make your job any easier?
Well, we don't have to play, what I call stump the chumps, which is go to the consent calendar, find the most obscure fact, and ask us if we know anything about it.
Okay.
I have another quick question. The water picture really is miserable right now. We hope was an anomalous year last summer without really, in my 32 years here, never seen a drier year, kind of the year that we all had dreaded. What if the monsoon doesn't show up? Well, it didn't last year. Any concerns in Pima County about our water issue?
Oh, I think being in the desert in the west and the Sonoran Desert is always a concern about water. It just depends on the cycle and whether or not we return to normal monsoon season this summer, which we hope we will. Some of the rain has been helpful, but hasn't got us up to where we need to be. So we just, we'll hope that we're just in one of these random dry cycles and a return to normal soon.
And our parks are generally open right now?
Our parks are all open. They have been open for a while. The Ramadas are open for registration. We just continue to ask people to use those same measures that are common sense. Stay home if you're sick. Wear a mask, socially distance if you can't maintain 6 foot distance continuously. And wash your hands.
And something you said earlier, folks may be joining us, about masks and vaccinations. You had said, I believe, if we may need to keep the mask ordinance going for a couple more months, that would be to dovetail with an accelerated vaccination schedule.
Yes. The more we can curtail the spread now, we have we decrease the probability of variants taking over. And the more people we can get vaccinated, the the fewer people will get infected. So those two things work hand in hand to get us back to normal as soon as possible.
All right. Chuck Huckleberry, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Nice to see you.
Good seeing you.
And Dan Scheer. Dan, stick around. We'll talk for a few minutes after the break. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back on this Friday afternoon. Good Friday. Be right back.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley and on the web at noblehops.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. On our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. And a very bad day for Dan not to be here because he missed out on a lovely slice. Unfortunately, I had three slices, and I should have probably only had one, but of the Danish Kringle slash coffee cake with the almond filling. We'll make it up to you, Dan, later on. Jeez.
Well, I assure you, I know my way to Mona's.
That's right. That's right. I know you've got a lot of workload and going on, not only with the local papers, but the two dozen newspapers that you are editorial director for under the WIC communication umbrella. Dan, we heard Chuck Huckleberry here. I brought it up. It came up at the beginning of the interview, and then I came back to it. This gave us a little bit of clarity. It's kind of the first I had heard about what Chuck Huckleberry is thinking time-wise, chronology-wise for masks.
Right. And I think, though, that everybody feels like everything could turn in just a couple of weeks. As he mentioned, perhaps we're going to see a slight increase in cases because of the Easter weekend. And we can look back over the past year and we have seen an increase in cases after holidays. So I don't know that anybody wants to lock into anything yet, but certainly we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Everybody just wants to make sure that people don't think that, yeah, this is it. Take the masks off, throw them away, and we don't have to worry about this anymore. We're not anywhere near that right now, but I think that he is correct in judging human behavior in that we are so sick of this that people are going to take it that way, and it's going to take us backwards. So we just have to continue to be careful, and that's what he's been saying.
And I think it's important to bring up from our interview yesterday with our attorney, Don Luce, who is our legal advisor on the program, and we were talking about, I asked Mr. Luce directly, if you're a business owner, what would your advice be? And he said, my advice would be definitely to tell patrons that masks are required in this particular establishment. Just from there's this anomaly going on about the liability. I think that you want to err on a cautious side here. Is that that's what Mr. Luce's interpretation was?
Right. And we called around to grocery stores and restaurants and such. And there is one man in town named Greg Hansen. He owns a restaurant in Green Valley, one in Sahuarita, and one in Amado, the old Longhorn Grill. And he is not requiring them of his workers or customers. And other than that, though, we have not heard of anybody else who is ready to take that step.
I want to go back to we brought up with the interview with Mr. Huckleberry, that the HUD Bay story. It's an important story. You guys at the Green Valley News, you submitted, I think there were about 24 questions that you wanted answered from HUD Bay officials, and I think they answered all of them.
They did. They answered every question. And what we want to do here is not have a reactionary first story. And I knew this was going to happen. And so what we want to do is get as many facts out there as we can. It would be really easy on a story like this to say, oh, my gosh, they plan to mine over here, or at least they're looking seriously at it, and call your usual suspects, you know, Save the Scenic Santa Rita's, you can call the mayor, and you're getting these reactionary quotes on stuff that they don't know about. Because I can tell you before Monday when this was announced, nobody knew anything. We had lots of suspicions, as Mr. Huckleberry pointed out, and no one was really surprised, but no one really knew. So what this story does, these questions do, is lay the foundation for what is going to be probably a decade-long conversation. And so I would really encourage people to get in there. And what we were doing is looking at this from the viewpoint of the person who's probably living in Green Valley or Sahuarita, and asking all the questions about water and what we're going to see and what might we hear and where are they going to take this stuff in and out. We knew most of the questions could not be answered this early, but there's still questions our people have. So I'd recommend you go in there, take a look at it. And then, of course, we can go and, as we get more information, get reaction as they start making more decisions. But technically, they haven't even decided to mine this yet. But the announcement Monday really was to investors. They're going to go forward with it. It's probably going to be open pit, more than likely. They say that in the questions. And now we'll have to figure out as a community what this is going to mean for us.
And what does this mean to the $2 billion Rosemont project that was first introduced back in 2007?
We asked that question, and they said it is not going to change anything. These are two very different projects and being approached in different ways because of some of the situations involved there. But nope, doesn't affect it at all. They expect, I would guess, perhaps even later this year to get the go-ahead on Rosemont. And as you point out, they've been waiting 14 years for this. It should have taken probably half that amount of time, but things get hung up for various reasons, and they've been patient. They've also sunk millions and millions and millions of dollars into this, so they're not about to to walk away from it. But I think they do believe they're going to prevail and be allowed to move forward with it, like I said, perhaps as soon as the end of this year.
Have most of the people that needed a vaccine wanted a vaccine? Your over 55 population, which is, of course, very heavy in Green Valley, have they been vaccinated?
Yes, for the most part, and I can tell you the stress level in this community has dropped like a rock over the past month for that very reason. And I'm telling you, Bill, because I get all the phone calls now. We're still getting some stragglers, people who don't use computers, who don't have access to anybody who can really even help them. The library's been largely shut down, and they're saying, I'm desperate, and we are helping them. We're connecting them to people who can get them the appointments. So for the most part, yes. Most people have gotten their vaccines, and then the stress level really drops 2 weeks later, which is when they're told that, yeah, you're good now. And so we're seeing a lot more people start to meet up with their friends, and it's really good to see. I'm not going to say we're getting back to normal yet, but we can see normal from where we are.
All right, Dan Scheer, thank you very much for your participation in the program, and we'll look forward to having you with us in studio in the future. Stay safe. Thank you very much, Dan.
Thanks, Bill.
Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. He's the editorial director of 24 newspapers owned by Sierra Vista-based WIC Communications, which keeps Dan, bottom line, working very hard, almost 24/7. I think he sleeps every third or fourth day. He gets a few hours of sleep. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. What's going on for the weekend? I'm ready. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell right after this.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
It is time for Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. The CDC announced today if you're fully vaccinated, yes, you can safely travel. So now would be a great time to check out southwestnewmexico.org because our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, just a three-hour drive from Tucson, are ready to welcome back Southern Arizonans to the land of enchantment. And there is a lot to do in the area, lots of outdoor activities, and some great places to stay. Again, the website, southwestnewmexico.org. Matt Russell is the award-winning Tucson publicist who has been the longtime host of Weekend Watch. He is the Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist. He's a generally all-around nice guy who loves food, and he's with us now. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Hey. Well, you had me at safe to travel, Bill. I know with you and I, with our passion for travel, I cannot wait to get my feet on a cruise vessel at some point, hopefully not too long from now, and explore the world again.
Yeah, everybody's all excited about it. And boy, are folks in Tucson excited, and rightly so, about the Lady Cats, who tip off at 6:30 tonight against the UConn Lady Huskies in the Final Four.
I am so excited. You know, I admit I haven't been following the ladies as much over the years, but I am hooked on this team. So much fun to watch these ladies and their athletic performance. And, of course, the big game, as you said, is tonight at 6:30. You can bet that several eateries and drinkeries are going to be broadcasting the game live. Bill, I personally think that Trident Grill has the right vibe for the occasion, what with their shrine to all things Wildcats at all of their locations around town. Now, I recommend getting there a little early to take advantage of their happy hour specials, which are going to be available until 6 o'clock, but definitely save room for some of their renowned fish and chips. It is Good Friday, after all, and fish is the dish. I say bear down at Trident Grill tonight. Let's send our ladies to the national championship game.
There's going to be a whole lot of hooting and hollering, so save your voice this afternoon because you may lose it tonight. I know a lot of our eateries so excited about kind of the re-entry after a very tough year, and they're introducing some new spring menus.
Absolutely. It's really one of the signs of spring when you see these new menus pop up all over town. Cafe Passé on 4th Avenue is kind of Exhibit A. Their new spring menu features an abundance of bagel dishes and burritos and sandwiches and French toasts and an imaginative menu of smoothies and Italian sodas and lattes. Now, they even have their own take on the classic Monte Cristo sandwich with ham and cheese. Then it's dipped in French toast batter and grilled, served with some Vermont syrup. You know, spring has sprung at Cafe Passé. I say a visit this weekend would definitely be worth your while.
You know, this is Easter weekend, just a joyous occasion. And many people like to celebrate by doing some kind of an Easter brunch. It's a tradition. Anything you could suggest for our listeners?
Yeah, you bet. You know, there's brunches all over town, but the crew at Hacienda del Sol has kind of figured out a safe and delicious way to enjoy an Easter brunch without standing in line in those big crowds as your coffee gets cold back at the table, as you're in line at these stations. They're offering a four-course tableside brunch on Sunday from 9:30 to 2, designed to give you their classic brunch experience conveniently coursed out. So the day is going to start with a complimentary glass of champagne alongside some assorted scones and muffins and Danish, followed by an antipasto platter with meats and cheeses and fruits. Bill, then comes the entree course with more than 10 items to choose from.
What?
And then it's all concludes with a serving of house-made desserts. You know, you really do need to get your reservations in quick. The number is 529-3500 and rejoice in the spirit of the Easter season at Hacienda del Sol.
It's a whole rebirth, and I know there's a feeling of joyousness among our restaurant owners now as they've toughed it out for a very difficult year, but there is a lot of light at the end of the tunnel, and for that we're very thankful. Matt Russell, always a pleasure. A joyous Easter to you and your lovely family.
Thanks. Right back at you, sir. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. The original theme music, which you hear at the beginning of our program, from Christophan, our German friend. Thanks to Assistant Rose Brandt, everybody here at KVOI, including my engineer-producer Tom Fairbanks, the entire team at Bustos Media, all of us wishing you a beautiful Easter.